Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, welcome to Christ Covenant Online. If we haven't met just yet, my name is Pastor Ryan. I'm the senior pastor here. And no matter where you're logging in, no matter what device you're using, a phone, a laptop, like we're just thankful that you're tuned in today. And would you do me a favor? If you haven't done this already, would you share this link with somebody that you know? Would you start a Facebook watch party? And if you don't know what in the world that is, you can find out how to do that on our website. But do something, anything to get the word out, to spread the good news. Now, unless you live in the wilderness and have no connection with society, which you wouldn't be watching this anyways, or unless you've been on the reality show Big Brother Germany, you should look up what's going on there. Unless you're in one of those categories, you know and I know exactly what's happening in the world today. We all know and we all see it, how coronavirus is spreading and the stock market continues to drop. People are panicking. Sports are canceled. Events are canceled. And we're doing church online only here for 2 weeks. Literally, everything has changed. I was talking to my parents about this last week, and we noted how no one alive today has ever seen anything like this. Like, we can try to relate it to past wars or the Spanish flu that happened around 1918, but nothing is like this. And as you all know very well, the world right now is very scared. And maybe you're in that category as well. There's fear, confusion, and chaos all around us. And so the big question everyone's asking, you're asking it, I'm asking it, is this: what do we do? Like, what do we do? Do we continue on with life as usual, at least as usual as we can make it? Do we mock and belittle those who are taking extra precautions? Do we underreact? Do we deny what's happening and make this pandemic political? Because some of us are doing that. Or on the other side, do we overreact? Do we buy extra hand sanitizer on the black market and make our own hazmat suits out of duct tape? We'll send you that link later on today. Like, what do we do? Do we find whoever's hoarding all the toilet paper and take them down together? Like, what do we do? And honestly, today, I don't have a three-step plan for you. I don't have a secret formula to make you feel better and forget what's happening. All I have to offer you is Jesus, because he is my hope in the middle of this uncertainty. And friend, you've got to know that hope, it's not an abstract, fictitious thing. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. So my greatest encouragement to you is that you would run after Jesus. You put your faith in him, you put your trust in him, that you would remember today that he is still on the throne and he's not caught off guard by what's happening. He's not pacing back and forth in heaven like we are down here on planet Earth. He's not filled with anxiety like we are. He's not crunching numbers trying to figure out how he'll get through this financially. That's what we're doing. He's not sanitizing and spraying down everything in his home, including his kids. Have you seen those videos on YouTube? He's not using paper towels to touch door handles. Welcome to my world, by the way. If you know me at all, I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, and I've been washing my hands before it was cool, y'all. But with all these precautions and all these fears and all these worries, these are all things that we're feeling. God's not feeling that way. Hear me and hear me clearly. Jesus, he's greater. Jesus is calm, cool, and collected. He knows exactly what's happening and going to happen, and he knows exactly what needs to happen. Let's even make it personal. He knows exactly what you need. And what you need and what I need is him. We need Jesus. And as I share my heart with you today, if you have a copy of God's word with you, would you please turn to me to the New Testament, or with me, to the New Testament, John chapter 14. I want to read some scripture together, and we want to meditate on God's word, and I've got several verses we're going to read, honestly, because we need it. We needed the word of God in our hearts. And by the way, if you're taking notes at home, I'm calling this message, and really it's not a message, but I'm calling this heart to heart between us, simply faith over fear, because faith is greater than fear. John chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 1 and read all the way through verse 14, and I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. And here's what God's word is saying to you and me. In fact, this is the word; these are the words of Jesus. He says this, "Don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you've believed in God. Now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going." And one of the disciples, he chimes in, Thomas, verse 5. Thomas said to Jesus, "Master, we don't know where you're going, so how could we know the way there?" And Jesus explained, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him." Another disciple chimes in, Philip now. Philip spoke up, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be all that we need." And Jesus replied, "Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father. For he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Believe that I live as one with my Father, and that my Father lives as one with me. Or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I have done. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask in my name. And that is how the Son will show you what the Father is really like and bring glory to him." Here's the last verse. "Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you." Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for the power in these words. And for the next just couple of minutes, as I share my heart, Lord, I pray that your word would rest heavy upon us individually, on our families, and God, our church community. We love you, and we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's amazing to me how timeless the word of God is. And what we just read from the Gospel of John, even though it was written thousands of years ago, it is still 100% relevant today in March 2020. And with that said, it's important that we have some context with what was going on back then to better understand it now here today. You see, before we get to John chapter 14, Jesus has just washed the feet of his disciples, a selfless and humble act. And he begins to share his heart with them, not just his disciples, his best friends. And he's sharing with them about some really difficult times ahead. He opens up and he shares how one of the disciples, Judas, has been a hypocrite and will betray him. Talk about awkward. He shares about another disciple, and they're all right there, Peter, who will disown him 3 times and pretend like he doesn't even know Jesus. Awkward again. You got to know this about God. He tells it like it is. But not just that. As we know the context of the story and what happens next, we also know that soon all of the disciples will scatter and abandon Jesus as he's taken away for a rigged trial. We know that during that corrupt trial, he'd be sentenced to death on a cross for a crime he did not commit. This is what's happening and about to happen. And so suffice it to say that the disciples' faith is being sorely tested, just like what's happening with you and me. All hope seems to be lost. They're in uncharted waters. Things are happening that they never thought would happen in a million years. They are not prepared for this. And John 14 is God's response. Jesus says, I know what's happening and what's about to happen, but don't worry and don't surrender in fear. Jesus is saying, it's going to be tough, but I'm here for you. I'm with you. Jesus says, simply have faith instead of fear. And I don't know about you right where you're at today, but I know that's a message I need to hear over and over again. And so I don't have a cute cookie cutter message for you. I've got God's word to share with you. And as I prayed about this and as I thought about this, there was three things I wanted to leave you with today before I pray and before we close this online service. If you're taking notes at home, would you write these down? I think they'll encourage you. Number one is this. We need to declare together as believers that we will live by faith, not fear. I love what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here's a second note I want to give you. Number two, the church is not a building. It's a people. And if you've been around for a little while, you know I talk about this over and over again. The church is the body of Christ. It's not a building. Now, it's important for us to gather, and we can't wait to be in the same room again together soon, but we also must scatter. We come together, and we go out. And never during any point of gathering and scattering do we stop being the church. So yes, we aren't meeting in person together right now in a large group gathering, but I got to tell you something. The church is not on hold until March ends. We will still be the church now because the church is built with people and not stones. And the church rests on Jesus, who is the capstone. You can check out what I'm talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. So allow me to encourage you today. Let's not shrink back from our faith. Let's pray more. Let's read the Bible more. Let's stay connected online to the church. Let's call each other and text each other. Let's participate and lean in. Let's reach out for help if we need it. Let's reach out and help someone else if they need it. Church, I declare this over Christ's covenant. We will not shrink back. We will rise up. I believe we'll move forward as a church stronger than ever. We must stay connected to God and each other. It's so vital. Here's the last encouragement. Number three, the darker the night, the greater the light. The darker the night, the greater the light. During this dark hour, we must remember that Jesus is the light of the world. He's the hope that we all need. He is our hope personally. He's the one. He's the one. So let's not shy away from sharing the gospel. In fact, can I teach you something about crisis? In moments of crisis, people are more open to the gospel than ever before. Share your faith, reach out, serve, and love people with no strings attached. Share the good news. Like, people need good news right now. If you want bad news, you already know where to go. CNN and Fox News. Like, check out what's going on with free agency. Did you know that the Houston Texans traded away their best receiver, one of the best receivers in the league, for basically nothing? That's bad news, y'all. People need good news, and the good news is Jesus. The good news is Jesus loves them and cares for them and died on the cross for them. Let's share the good news. Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's be that light. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, I lift up right now the people in our church, people in our community, across our nation and the world that are hurting. God, help us not to hide the hope that we have in you. I pray, God, that faith would arise amongst your people, that we trust you on greater levels than ever before. We pray for your healing to flow. I speak, God, your protection and your grace upon your people. May you send your angels to surround the many that are hurting. May the church rise up and be your hands and be your feet. May we tell others of your goodness and your faithfulness. May you protect those like my mom, those in the medical field, the nurses and the doctors and the hospitals, those that are on the front lines, people in our government. We lift them up to you. Give them wisdom and direction. Jesus, we need you. Right where you're seated in your home or in your car with your phone out, right where you're at. If you're here today and you're far from God, this is your moment to turn to him. This is your moment to repent of your sin and to put your full trust in Jesus. Right where you're at, you can talk to God right now. You can tell him things like this with your heart. God, I know that I'm far from you and I want to come close to you. God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask you right now to forgive me of all my sin. Jesus, I believe that you are God. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. You can talk to him right now. You can say these things out loud. Believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. So I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I put my trust in you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.